Welcome to American Mosaic in VOA Special English. I'm Doug Johnson. On our show this week, we listen to some music from Rufus Wainwright, answer a question about American elections, and report about the Denver Art Museum. Today, we explore the collections of the Denver Art Museum in Colorado. The two main buildings of the museum contain art from many periods and places. The newest extension of the museum opened last year. The tall, silver-colored building was designed by the internationally famous American architect Daniel Libeskind. Faith Lapidus tells us about this interesting museum.
When you first walk toward the Denver Art Museum, you might not realize the building you are looking at is a museum. The tall north building looks like a defensive structure built long ago. It was actually built in 1971 by the architect Gioponti. He once said that art is a treasure, and these thin but jealous walls defend it. The surface of the building is covered in over 1 million glass tiles that shine in the bright Colorado sun. Next to this building is Daniel Libeskind's bold creation. Its sharp angles and tall extensions are covered in silver-colored titanium metal. Mr. Libeskind says the building was influenced by the light and environment of the nearby Rocky Mountains. The inside of the Denver Art Museum is as interesting as its outside. There are rich collections of modern and ancient art, as well as art from Asia, Africa, America, and Europe. The American Indian collection includes a finely made face covering by the Kwakwaka'wakw tribe artist George Walkes. This bold mask has four bird faces painted in red, white, and black. It was worn as part of a special dance ceremony. In its main entry, the new building has an unusual piece of art by the Japanese artist Tatsuo Miyajima. It is made up of 80 mirrored glass circles placed on the walls in different areas. Each circle has a lighted number in its center. The numbers count up and down at different speeds between the numbers 1 through 9. The Denver Art Museum recently had an exhibition of works by the abstract expressionist painter Clifford Still. When he died in 1980, he gave his collection of work to a city that would build a museum to protect and present his art. The Clifford Still Museum will be built next door to the Denver Art Museum, but we will have to wait until 2010 to explore its collections.
Our listener question this week comes from Burma. Ko Maji wants to know about the United States election process and who will win the 2008 presidential election. National elections are held in the United States every 2 years. Each time, voters elect all members of the House of Representatives for a 2-year term and 1/3 of Senate members for a 6-year term. Many states also choose governors and state legislatures in national elections. Citizens may also vote on different questions of state or local interest. 2008 is a presidential election year as well. The Constitution requires the president and vice president be elected every 4 years. By law, voting is to be held on the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November. Although many Americans may have an opinion about who will win the presidential election next year, it is too early to make any predictions. Presidential candidates have more than 1 year left to campaign. The two major parties in the United States are the Democrats and the Republicans. Every 4 years, the parties hold national conventions to officially choose their nominees for president and vice president. Many states hold special primary elections to choose delegates to the national conventions. Each presidential candidate lists on state primary ballots a group of delegates who have promised to support the candidate at their party's convention. Citizens show their choice for the presidential nomination by voting for the group of delegates committed to that candidate. Off-year elections in American politics are considered general elections held during odd-numbered years. The next off-year election is November 6th. Voters will select mayors, city council members, school board officials, and many other local offices. A few states will also hold elections for governor and state legislators on Tuesday. Rufus Wainwright is a musician who comes from a family of folk singers. His fifth album, Release the Stars, is musically rich and complex. With his emotional voice, Wainwright sings about deeply personal stories. Some songs are playful, while others are more serious. Barbara Klein has more.
Rufus Wainwright recorded Release the Stars last summer in Germany. He wanted to create a musically straightforward and simple record. Instead, he ended up writing rich and complex musical arrangements that include 14 string and horn instruments. The album combines the sounds of popular music with those of opera, classical, and cabaret music. Here is the song, Rules and Regulations.
I will never be as cute as you. According to the Board of Human Relations, I will never fly as high. According to the Board of Public Citations, these are just the rules and regulations of the bird.
Wainwright made this album for his mother, the musician Kate McGarrigle. While he was recording the songs, she had to have a serious medical operation. He said her sickness gave him a sense of urgency about the record he wanted to create. Last year, Rufus Wainwright gave a bold performance at the famous Carnegie Hall in New York City. He recreated the songs from a historic concert given by the American singer Judy Garland in 1961. His performance received great critical praise. But one of his close friends did not attend. Wainwright wrote this song about his friends. Release the Stars tells about the old days of movie production studios in Hollywood, California. But Wainwright says the larger message is about letting everything go and being the best person you can be.
Why do you keep all your stars in from your studio on Melrose Avenue? You have lost all your assets in lifelong contracts to you. Didn't you know
Rufus Wainwright has also written many songs for movies, such as Shrek, Moulin Rouge, and Brokeback Mountain. The Metropolitan Opera in New York City has even asked him to write an opera. We leave you now with his song, Slideshow.
Do I love you? Because you treat me so indifferently. Or is it the medication? Or is it me? Do I love you? Because
I'm Doug Johnson. I hope you enjoyed our program today. It was written by Dana Demange and Jill Moss. Katie Weaver was the producer. To read the text of this program and download audio, go to our website, voaspecialenglish.com. Join us again next week for American Mosaic, VOA's radio magazine in special English.
And if I am not crying, just as broken.